Thank you, Jaap. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to be here today to address this valuable forum. Allow me to begin by praising the Euro-Atlantic Partnership Council for its important contributions to furthering partnerships based on a common set of values. The EAPC encompasses and facilitates both political consultations and practical cooperation among partners. The fact that the EAPC spans both the political sphere and the practical level makes it a unique tool for enhancing global security. The topic of my speech here today is Afghanistan, where EAPC partners already provide important contributions and where our security cooperation is proving its worth. But Afghanistan is also a theater where our cooperation is being put to the test. I do not want to paint a bleak picture of Afghanistan because it is black and white. As UN Special Representative to Afghanistan, Kai Eide, has pointed out on previous occasions, not all is doom and gloom. Significant achievements have been made in Afghanistan. In 2001, 900,000 boys went to school. Today, more than 7 million children are enrolled, out of which 2.4 million girls. 90% of the population has access to basic health care, compared to an appalling 8% when the Taliban was in power. The participation of women in political and economic life is also encouraging. Two women are candidates for presidency. At the same time, there is progress in the establishment of local development councils, which can drive development projects further. And efforts to stimulate the local economies are underway. Furthermore, GNP per capita has risen from $182 in 2002 to an estimated $325 in 2007. 20,000 kilometers of road have been repaired or built. 3.5 million people has a mobile phone connection, compared to a meager 15,000 under the Taliban. And infant mortality has been reduced with 40,000 per year. But, on the other hand, we cannot ignore the fact that daunting challenges remain. Afghanistan is still among the poorest countries in the world, where large numbers of the population do not enjoy the most basic necessities, such as sufficient food and clean water. It is a country with a conflict-ridden past, reluctant to let go of its hold on Afghan society. Afghanistan is still marred by terrorism, and the insecurity continues to pervade the life of all too many. In addition, Afghanistan is struggling with poor governance, categorized by a lack of capacity and severe corruption. Afghanistan is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. It is also the world's largest producer of heroin, although more than half of Afghanistan's provinces are now opium-free. With this black and white picture, there is still all too much black, which means that we have to acknowledge the need for long-term commitment in Afghanistan, and we have to acknowledge that there are no easy or quick fix solutions. The situation in Afghanistan is very complex and demands an innovative and multi-pronged approach. By this I mean that we must apply a wide range of instruments adapted to the circumstances and in an integrated manner. Military means alone will not solve the situation. But military efforts are necessary to pave the way for the civilian efforts, which are strongly needed to ensure stability and development. For there can be no stability without development, and there will be no development without security. Integrating military, political, and development tools is not a simple matter, but we are making headway and must keep improving our efforts. While it is encouraging that so many partners are involved in Afghanistan, the multitude of actors also, in itself, raises issues of coordination and leadership. I am, of course, not suggesting less involvement from anyone. On the contrary, we need to increase our efforts, but I'm suggesting that we must get better at delivering our efforts. Afghanistan needs better assistance just as much as it needs more assistance. UNAMA's coordinating role needs to be strengthened. While this requires more from UNAMA, it also requires that donors are more willing to be coordinated. Even more important is that we unite behind the Afghan plans and priorities. If not, we risk undermining the very national efforts that we are seeking to support. At the end of the day, development will only be sustainable if it is based on local ownership and rooted in local institutions. That is why uncorrupt and democratic governance and governors are so important for building trust in the Afghan state. And this is the only sustainable way forward. In the short run, the elections this August and next year are decisive in advancing the frail Afghan society and democracy and lending legitimacy to the state. We must assist the Afghans in ensuring a credible and legitimate process before, during, and after the elections. A legitimate government is a crucial prerequisite for any stabilization and development effort. Alas, establishing the legitimacy of the government will not suffice. There can be no lasting stability and sustainable development without good governance, centrally and locally. At the heart of a sustainable governance system are human rights, rule of law, and anti-corruption processes. We must demand that Afghan authorities ensure real progress towards good anti-corrupt governance centrally and locally. Corruption is stealing from the poor and wrecking the society. Therefore, we also need to assist the Afghan authorities with building the necessary capacity to deliver good governance. In the longer run, Afghan institutions must be able to deliver the rule of law, good health, education, job creation, and security, but they have to deliver it by themselves and for themselves. Because Afghan problems are best solved by Afghans. Capacity building must be an integral part of the international community's effort. From a NATO perspective, I'm very pleased that NATO at its recent summit decided to strengthen its efforts in building the capacity of the Afghan security forces. Among a range of initiatives is the broadening of the trust fund for the sustainment of the Afghan National Army. We hope that the international community will contribute to this. NATO also decided to increase its role in capacity building of the police forces, which is yet another crucial factor in achieving stability in Afghanistan. The European Union, through its EUPOL mission, also delivers important assistance to the strengthening of the police. But I must admit, the European Union is not doing enough. NATO also decided to further develop its engagement with all of Afghanistan's neighbors in support of long-term regional security. Strengthening relations with Pakistan is a particular focus. And this brings me to the last but by no means least point that I want to touch upon today, the need for a regional perspective. It has become increasingly clear that the security situation of Afghanistan to a high degree depends on its neighbors. Security and development of Afghanistan must be viewed in a regional context. The most obvious risk to the security and stability of Afghanistan springs from the border areas towards Pakistan, which are largely outside the control of both governments. It is not a secret that borders are porous at best, and that this has been to the advantage of the insurgents. Finding a sustainable solution to this naturally involves increased collaboration with Pakistan. Pakistan is also facing great challenges, some of which are interlinked with the situation in Afghanistan. But it is important to acknowledge that Pakistan's problems must be approached in their own right. The situation in Pakistan is extremely complex and chaotic. Presently, up to 3 million people are displaced. And with government's recent decision to expand the fighting to also include the stronghold of Pakistani Taliban in Waziristan, this figure is doomed to increase. The importance of coordinating international response to the humanitarian crisis cannot be underestimated. The cost of insufficient international assistance could be increased radicalization and Taliban exploiting the situation to new recruitment. If this situation is not handled well, tomorrow's Taliban is created today. In this context, the group Friends of Democratic Pakistan could play a key role as a key forum for coordinating international assistance. Friends of Democratic Pakistan is a demonstration of the international commitment to support the beleaguered democracy in Pakistan. But let me go back to Afghanistan. Here it is clear the stability and development in Afghanistan is also closely linked to Afghanistan's other neighbors, not least Iran, where the leadership right now is attacking its own people, whereas it should respect the people's right of expression, information, and demonstration. That's deplorable. It is important that the international community engage all of Afghanistan's neighbors and closest partners in a dialogue and practical cooperation to improve the situation. We have an apparent and mutual interest in a stable Afghanistan, which can form the basis for such interaction. If not, Afghanistan can say to its neighbors, today us, tomorrow you. It is therefore imperative that we find ways to support the development of a stable region. And we need to address cross-boundary and regional issues, not only for the sake of Afghanistan, but for the sake of the region and for the sake of the global security. I began by praising EAPC for its relevance for global security. Afghanistan extremism and the complex regional situation are among the biggest global security challenges of today. And it is a challenge we must meet jointly. It is through partnerships such as the EAPC that we must rise to the occasion. And I thank Kazakhstan for hosting this conference. The meeting here today presents us with a window of opportunity which we have to utilize in order to help the Afghans bring their house in order. If we allow this house to burn down, we know that the neighboring houses will catch fire. The international community must avoid this by delivering the necessary support. And we must remain committed. A stable Afghanistan and a stable region are in the long-term interest of us all. We cannot afford to fail. Thank you.